Why do I sometimes feel a twinge when another woman succeeds? Isn't feminism antithetical to competition? Valerie Miner found herself asking these questions and, in response, co-edited an anthology of essays about sisterhood and competition. In her essays and fiction, Miner explores feminist, lesbian, and working-class issues. Her new book is a collection of short stories called Trespassing. In the title story, two women go away together for the weekend to a remote cabin they built with their friends. After getting rid of the bats and cleaning up the wasp nests, they go to the store for some provisions. On their return, they encounter a stranger on their land.
Josie moved the Chevy into the shade of an oak tree which was being gradually occupied by Spanish moss. As she locked up the car, she saw a fat man with a rifle waddling out of the forest. He wore a yellow cap, a striped T-shirt, and blue jeans. A giant bumblebee, she thought, then warned herself to get serious. The land was clearly posted. No trespassing, no hunting. A shiver ran along her collarbone. They were half a mile from the highway here. It could be weeks before anyone investigated. Josie decided to be friendly and waved. "Hello there," he was winded, hustling to meet her. Josie closed her eyes and hoped Kate would stay in the house until it was all over. "I got lost," he said, nodding his whole body. "How do you get back to the highway?" "That direction," Josie tried to calm herself. "Up the road there." He looked her over. "You got any water? A glass of water? I've been walking for hours." Biblical tales filled her head. The woman at the well, the wedding at Cana, the Good Samaritan. "Sure," she said as noncommittally as possible. "I'll be right back."
This story, Trespassing, is really about living with danger, about living with bats in the house, with wasps, with possibly dangerous trespassers on your land. What got you thinking about that?
Well, I guess that I was interested in the notion of who trespasses on whom. And having grown up as a good Catholic schoolgirl where I was always asking to have my trespasses forgiven, I wanted to kind of explore the positive aspect of trespassing too. So in my sense, this story is not only about that particular hunter moving on to the land where these two women have built a house, but it's also about those two women trespassing in the countryside and establishing a weekend home among people who see the country as their daily existence. And it's also about those women trespassing in the wild, about human beings and the way we coexist and don't coexist well with nature.
Don't you think it's also about not being able to wait until everything is safe, because things are never perfectly safe?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I think that that's what life is, that kind of trespassing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. You've written that you think working class people have been ignored in contemporary fiction or portrayed as the other. How did you start experiencing that absence?
Well, I think I started acknowledging it many years after I started experiencing it. I think I started experiencing it, as most Americans do, by going through a school system in which literature about working people is not visible, and I think is in fact censored on several levels. I think there's a strong element of external censorship by publishers and reviewers and librarians, and I think there's a very severe form of self-censorship that goes on. But I guess that the way that I became aware of this loss is that I lived in England for 3 years in my late 20s, and I became conscious of working class identity, working class culture. I grew up in a working class family in this country. My mother worked in an all-night coffee shop until 2 years ago when she was 77 and she was laid off. And I always thought there was something odd about my family. I never identified it as a class distinction. But when I lived in England and started to read more literature, fiction as well as nonfiction about working class people, things started to click in that old way that feminist issues started to click. And I guess that's where I began to perceive things that way.
Who do you think are the exceptions to what you're saying in contemporary American fiction?
Well, I think that there are a few exceptions. I think that Ray Carver is one very fine exception. Tess Gallagher, who writes short stories as well as poetry, Marge Piercy, William Kennedy. But I've talked to a number of these people, and they've all told me stories that are similar to my stories of that kind of external censorship compounded by the internal censorship.
When you started to write, did you think it would be hard, as someone from a working class background who'd have stories of that background to tell, that it would be hard to fit in or find readers or get published?
Well, I didn't really start. I mean, that's an interesting question, because I think that the denial about class is so deeply seamed into the cultural psyche in this country that people like myself who grow up in working class families don't perceive themselves as working class, as I said earlier. And I didn't really set out to write stories about waitresses and construction workers and news vendors and so forth. In fact, I think that what happened was that as I became aware of my family through reflection, through a certain kind of distance, and as I became more aware of cultural issues about class by living in England, I kind of came out, so to speak, as a working class writer and began to write more stories about working people. And I feel like I should say before we get any further that I've gone through college. I have a lot of privileges my parents never had, a lot of possibilities they'll never have. And so I don't feel comfortable actually calling myself working class now. I see myself as someone who grew up in a working class family, but who essentially now lives in a pretty middle class environment, although that's uncomfortable at times. And that's one of the issues of trespassing that I'm trying to develop in the book of stories, that idea of trespassing across classes.
That's what you feel like you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. I think one's always afraid that the fork is going to drop or the accent's going to slip. Yeah, you're going to be found out.
Did you ever feel like you've been punished for crossing class lines?
Well, I think that there, I don't know that there's an overt punishment, a legal penalty, but I do definitely experience a sense of betrayal and loss. I think that if you grow up in a kind of family where there aren't books around, where what you're doing is perceived as alien, ultimately you become a foreigner, a kind of descendant before your generation, and you live in a territory that your family doesn't have access to, and in a way you also can't go back home. There's a way you can't reach completely back, and that is in part a psychological experience, but in part it's a very practical problem. I mean, books in this country are not distributed to working class people. It's very hard for them to have access to that material. I think there's also a way in which if you're writing, as I do in Trespassing and my other novels, about working class life, it feels almost as if you're passing on secrets to middle class outsiders, and that feels like a kind of betrayal.
I want to ask you, in your fiction, you know, you write about both lesbian and straight women and, you know, gay couples and straight couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you ever felt that you had to write about one or the other because audiences don't cross over that much.
Uh-huh. I'm much more interested in raising questions about sexuality than in saying that this is the right choice or that's the right choice. So I've found the people often try to look for answers in my work, and I find that puzzling, amusing, sometimes irritating. But I'm a feminist writer, and I want to write about a variety of women's experiences. And I'm happy to be identified as a lesbian writer in the sense that, for me, that's a social choice, a political choice, as well as an emotional choice. But I feel that I don't want that to limit my readership.
Valerie Miner, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Pleasure. Thank you.